Good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Chaf Beis. Now, that was yesterday's. Okay, good. Today's daf is daf Chaf Gimel. We're back on daf Chaf Beis. And we're on Chaf Beis, Amud Beis, and we're on the very top of the Amud. First thing we're going to talk about is how many Malkas you're going to give. The Mishnah brings down a Machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah back on Chaf Beis, Amud Aleph, towards the bottom of the Amud, discusses this Kama. How many malchus do you give? So according to the Tanakhama, you give 39, based on the pasuk bim mispar arba'im, minyan shu samach arba'im. It's based on the fact that the Torah says bim mispar, the number which is close to 40. Rav Yehuda disagrees. He says that there are actually 40, and he also bases it on pesukim, as we're about to see right now. Top of the amud on right at the beginning of the Gemara in Chav Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara says, "My time, yikasav arba'im bim mispar, hav amin arba'im bim minyanam." So first we go back to the Tanakhama's opinion. Had the Torah said, Arba'im b'mispar, 40 is the number, so then I would have said, Arba'im b'minyanah, so the number would have been 40. Hash d'ksiv b'mispar arba'im, in the number of 40, minyan shu sochem es arba'im, it's a number right before you get to the sikum, it's like a subtotal. The subtotal right before you get to number 40. In other words, as you're counting up, and you're moving along, so the number right before you get to 40, the subtotal before 40, which is going to be 39. Okay. Amar Rava. But before we get to Rava's comment, it seems the Pashas of the Gemara is that according to the Tanakhama, when they say 39, it's actually Minatara. Minatara, the number should be 39, even though the Torah uses the number 40, but it's Bimispar, it's the number actually before 39. It seems to be a Dinda Araisa that the number should be 39. Amar Rava, Kama Tishai Shar Inchi. The Kama Mikami Sefer Torah, below Kama Mikami Gavi Rava. Rava says people are really dumb. I can't account for the lack of intelligence in people. They stand up for a Sefer Torah, but then when you have Gavi Rava, when you're having a great person, a Talmid Chacham that passes by, you don't stand up. Why? Now, in general, the Gemara Kedushin actually just did this last year. The Gemara Kedushin asked the question: do you stand up for a Sefer Torah? And the Gemara Kedushin says, well, I can develop a very simple Kavachomer. If I stand for the people learning the Sefer Torah, so I should for sure stand for the Sefer Torah itself. So from the Gemara Kedushin, the Gemara actually works from the Talmud Chacham to the Sefer Torah. Here, Rav is kind of working in the reverse order. Of course you need to stand for Talmid Chachamim. If you're standing for the Sefer Torah, you should stand for Talmud Chacham. This is not really the deductive logic that it's being used. It's just over here, Rav is just making a commentary on how important it is that the Chachamim darshan the Torah. Why? The il b'sefer Torah k'siv arba'im. Because the Sefer Torah says that there's 40. The asur rabbanan batzur chada, and along come the Chachamim, and they diminish it by one. They bring it down to 39. Right? And so, the simple pshat of the Gemara, the very simple pshat of the Gemara, is like, you know, we, the Talmid Chachamim, should be like, given like a standing ovation, like a little bit of applause. Because the Torah says that you're supposed to get 40 lashes, and we cut you guys a break. We only gave you 39 and not 40.
How does that violate don't add or subtract?
Okay, fine. So, right. So, correct. It is interesting, and again, I'll come back to this point one more time. Right, when we're going from 40 down to 39, is that a din d'oraisa? Is that actually expanding the Torah, or is it some sort of rabbinic injunction? So it's difficult to say. I don't know for sure. But in other words, when the Gemara first darshaned, it sounds like a real drasha. The way from Rava's comment, it sounds ve'asu rabbanan batzu chada, the chachamim came along and diminished it by one. It sounds like it's some sort of rabbinic enactment. It's not. You know, it's not a din d'oraisa, but the Chachamim just were able to diminish it by one. All right, so, you know, dropping from 40 to 39, is that a real din d'oraisa, or is that some sort of d'rabbanan? Could be the Gemara is alluding to both of those over here. All right, let's go on. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Arba'im Shlemos, etc. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, my time of the Rabbi Yehuda. What is the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? Dechziv ma hamakosa ela ben yadecha ve'ama asher kisi beis ma'avai. Right, the pasuk in Zechariah refers to some sort of makos, some sort of additional hittings. Barabanan ha'u b'tinokish al beis rabanu dechziv. So the Chachamim will say, yeah, that pasuk is not talking about makos imposed by Beis Din. That's talking about makos that's given by the Rebbe. The Rebbe gives his student makos, and that's what the pasuk is referring to, not the extra makos that's given by the shliach Beis Din. And so, therefore, it has nothing to do with the 40th makkah. Okay. We move on to the next part of the Mishnah. So let's go over. First of all, we learned in the Mishnah that the number has to be divisible by 3. Okay? So in other words, and by the way, that's another reason why it seems to be that 39 is Minatora, not 40. Because 40 is not a number divisible by 3. 39 is a number divisible by 3. So it seems to be that 39 is a real Din D'Oraisa, not some sort of rabbinic injunction. Okay, another indication. It's not clear. It's not clear to me how the Pasuk in Zechariah gets us to the number 40. And the Rivan gives me no further indication. Okay, I don't know. Fine. The top of the Mishnah, the top of Chabezim and Beis in the Mishnah, it reads as follows. I'm just rereading the Mishnah that we saw yesterday. Amdula Kabo Shmona Esrei. He was estimated, and after his physical, the doctor said to Beis Din, 18. 18 is about as much as he can handle. Umishalaka amdu shiyachu lekabo arba'im. And after, so he got his 18, didn't break a sweat, didn't flinch, right? Looked great afterwards. And then they did another reassessment, and the doctor said, you know, no, we think he can handle 40. So Potter, he's exempt, meaning he got his 18. That's how much the doctor originally said. That's how much his profile said he can handle. And so we'll leave it at that. Okay, that's what we learned in our Mishnah. Okay.
You say a doctor, but in reality, who was doing it? I
mean, some sort of
like
some
the judge or
no? They had somebody who was, you know. It wasn't a doctor, but somebody who, you know,
some sort of
health professional.
So, but independent of the judges.
Yeah, they're right. They had somebody who he got numdana. It's right. You got to have some sort of profile. Okay. The Gemara. Now we go to the Gemara. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Rabim Shlemos. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. No, we did that. Sorry. Ain omdim ela b'makos haruiz v'chule. Laka in la laka lo. All right. From the Mishnah, the simple pshat in the Mishnah is that if he received 18 and then he went for another examination and the second time around they said, no, not 18, 40. So from the Mishnah, what does it seem? That he's only going to be exempt if he actually got lashed the 18. Okay? But it seems from the Mishnah, and the Mishnah doesn't say this, this is total inferential reading of the Mishnah, it seems from the Mishnah that had he gotten one examination, and it said 18. And before he got lashed, he got a second examination. Why did he go in for a second examination? Why did he get a second opinion? I don't know. Maybe he thought he could, you know, get less than 18. And in the second examination, they said 40. So it sounds like from the Mishnah, he's going to get 40. Sounds that way from the Mishnah. Again, every time I say 40, I really mean 39. But right, it sounds like he's going to get the full 39. Okay, v'riminu. On that deal, the Gemara is now going to challenge. Amdul Kabal Arba'im. Let's say the first examination had him getting 40. The Chazu v'amdu Shein Yachol Kabal Arba'im, and then he went for another examination. It turns out, no way, he can't handle 40. He can only handle less than 40. Pater, he would be exempt. Amdul Kabal Shemon Asrei. If let's say the first examination was 18. And then afterwards, it turns out that he can get now 40. Potter, he's going to be exempt. Okay? Now, here, this Braisa is at odds, not with our Mishnah, but with the implication of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah sounds like if we're going from 40 to 18, or I should, excuse me, if we go from 18 to 40, he's going to be exempt only if we got the 18. Then and only then is he going to be exempt from any more than that. But the implication of our Mishnah is that had he not gotten the 18, if he went for a second opinion, and the second opinion bumped him up to 40, he's actually going to get all 40. That's the implication of our Mishnah, right? The Braisa, however, says no. The Braisa says that if he's at 18 and he goes for a second opinion and the second opinion is 40, he's going to be exempt. Okay? So there is a stira between that which is implied in our Mishnah and that which the Braisa actually says. Amrav Sheshes Lokasha. Had Amdu Ula Yume, Had Amdu Ula Machar, Ula Yume Uchra. So Rav Sheshes gives the only answer the Gemara provides in terms of resolving the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa, and it goes like this. Had Amdu Ula Yume. Rivan. Rivan has two long pieces over here, but it's pretty straightforward. The Rivan writes, let's see this inside. Had Amdu Ula Yume. Right? This is explaining our Mishnah. The Rivan is 8 lines down from the top of the Amud. Masnisa Amdu Ula Yume Lakaba Mem O Shmona Asrei. The Hilkach Ki Chazu Va'amdu Baba Yom Shein Yachol Lakaba O Yachol Iglai Milsa Do Mishalahem Lo Ayaklam Kevin De Baba Yom Sisu Komash Amdu. Right? He got a second opinion that very day. If he gets a second opinion that very day, and the second opinion comes out different than the first opinion, what does that indicate to us? The first opinion was wrong. First opinion made a mistake. The first opinion had him accepting either 18 or 40, and the second opinion was either 40 or 18 respectively. So that shows us that the first opinion was wrong. Right? The Bobayam. Sisru kol mashalam sha'amdu, sharizel lo nishtana velo hichish b'shaos muad kazeh. We're not going to assume that his medical condition changed dramatically in one day. We will not assume that. So therefore, the only thing we're going to say is human error. That when they made that first assessment, they made a mistake. And now the Rivan goes on to explain. So this is our Mishnah. So let's go with the case where he starts off by being assessed at 18, and then on that very same day gets changed to 40. So now, this is how our Mishnah will work. He gets assessed for 18. He gets the 18. So the Rivan says he's fine now. He can go home. Why? Right? Pochen or so, share nis bazeh. Because he suffered embarrassment. Right? We'll see over the course of today. One of the main goals of getting Malkus is some sort of embarrassment, some sort of demeaned status. So he got his 18. Even though it was an error, meaning, right, they gave him a second assessment that day. I don't know why, but they did. They gave him a second assessment that day, and he was assessed for 40. But the fact that he actually received the 18, which was based on the first assessment, although it was erroneous, but nevertheless he received it, so he received his bizui. He got the mean. The imlolaka, however, now this is what the Mishnah implies. If he didn't get his 18, harehu kemishalo amduhu klal. The fact that we now know that the first evaluation was erroneous, it's as if he didn't even have an estimation. The achshavu de meino bedine v'amru yechol umamtina lo achi yavrivi ye omdemoso omed arayilo. Period. Okay, so that's our Mishnah. So our Mishnah is that for whatever reason he got an estimation, a second estimation, on that day. So if he already received his lashes, so fine. He should have gotten more, but he was demeaned by receiving his lashes. If, however, he did not receive any lashes for the first estimation, and now, for whatever reason, they bring him back and they give him a second estimation, and the second estimation comes out different than the first, it shows us that the first one was wrong, and we just ignore the first one, and we give him the lashes based on what we got for the second one. That's our Mishnah. What about the Braisa? So, that's the next Rivan. The Braisa is talking about a case where the estimation came on a different day. Look at the next Rivan. Ubraisa Bandula Machulima Uchra, Leyom Acher, Dahu Vadai, Omid Gamar Hu Shiyafe Aino. Right here, you come out to different numbers on different days, but that may not be a mistake. Right. In other words, people's health conditions change over the course of time. Shaya Yachuzala Kabala Roso Yam Kach Vakach Makos. Elanishtana Vihichish. It could very well be that a week ago he could have handled 40. And we're fragile, and things happen, and Maybe this week, as he got his second estimation, he went down to 18. Hilkach ki amdulah arbima yom ploni ukshiyeh yom ploni amdu sheyachol akaba kulam omid rishon omid gamar haya. The first estimation was real. The whole v'nishtan of his kalkel she'en yachol akabel pata. And now it comes out that he can't handle what he was originally assessed. He will be exempt. Afa pi shalolaka sharei nisbazeh ba'osa umed. Because he also now suffers bizui. He also now is disgraced. V'chi amdu anam l'shmon esrei ad yom ploni ukshige yom ploni amdu she'achol akabel arbaim. Ain't loke ella omid rishon da omid gamar haya, right? In other words, just the fact that he had an appraisal, that's enough of a bizui. It's interesting, by the way, because going from 40 to 18, that certainly is disgraceful, right? At one point you were healthy, you were fit, you were able to take 40, and now for whatever reason, based in, I don't know, the whip broke, right? the hitter wasn't here, and now you come back at a later point in time, and now you can only take 18. That's a bizui. But the Rivan has to point out, it also works the other way around, although it's not as intuitive. In other words, if you started off being able to take 18 in your first estimation, and then a week later you come back, and for whatever reason you weren't whipped yet, and you get a second estimation, and now you're at 40, the Rivan will have to argue that's also still a bizui because you also went through the trouble of getting already your first estimation. All right, let's see.
What would be the indication to get a second estimation?
Well,
well,
on the same day, right? It's funny. It's funny. On the same day, I don't know. In other words, a week later, I totally understand because
for the same day,
I don't know. I don't know.
But he's constantly eligible to be reassessed up until time they get back.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying, but right. But if you, in other words, but Hedy's right though. If he was, I mean, I'm with him. If he was assessed for that day, why they would, you know, why he has the right to say I need a new one or. You know, I don't think this.
He could have taken ill, and
even if for the second week, don't they give the lashes the same day as soon as?
Right. So right, I was going to say they would wait 1 week because for whatever reason they couldn't.
He was assessed based on his sickness that he's going to get 18. So
right.
Why wouldn't they get 18 right away? Why do they wait?
They should have. They absolutely should have.
How many people are required to make the assessment as to what how much? How many people are required to assess?
It doesn't say. The Mishnah on the Gemara never says. So by other estimations, we talk about, you know, by appraising a house, for example, different set of circumstances, but there we need 10 people. Here, for this estimation, the Gemara never says. Ava aver sheyesh ba shnei lavin amdu omed echad loke upato v'im lav loke umisrape v'choze v'loke. Okay. Our Mishnah here talks about a multiple, guy who's chayv multiple lavin. Right, so let's just deal with the number two. So in other words, so he's chayiv two sets of malchus, right? We've seen already now through the third parak of malchus, it's possible, right? Even for one violation that it has with it multiple sets of lashes. So let's imagine that this person's chayiv going to be chayiv two. So our Mishnah says that if he's able to be omed one umdana, one evaluation, he'll get malchus and he'll be excused. And if not, then we'll wait for him to heal, and he'll get malchus again. What does that mean? The Mishnah is very unclear. So let's just go through the Gemara, because with the Gemara, the Mishnah will become very clear. The Hatanya, the Gemara says, "Ein omdin omed acha l'shnei lavin." You do not make one evaluation for two lavin. I'm Rav Sheshes lo kasha. So Rav Sheshes says, "I don't have a problem with any of this." Again, same Rav Sheshes who answered up the previous Mishnah. Hada amdula arbaim v'chada hada amdua. La arba invitarte. So Rav Sheshes says, I'll give you a really good explanation of how all this works. Look, let's say he's chayv two sets of malchus. So what does that mean? He means he needs 39 plus 39. Okay. Now, in order to receive lashes, the number has to be divisible by 3. One lash, two lashes is nothing. It has to be minimum 3 in order to qualify as lashes. Right? If you can't get 3, then that's not even lashes. Fine. So let's imagine Rav Sheshes says that you're chayv 2, so you're coming into Beis Din. You go for your medical, and it comes back that the number you could take is 42. 42 is a great number. if there's such a thing in the world of lashes. 42 is a great number. Why? Because you're getting 39, right, for your first set of malchus, and then you're going to get 3. 3 more for the second set. So 42 comes back and the number is 42. So now you're going to get 42 and that's going to cover your first set of lashes and your second set of lashes. 39 for the first set and 3 for the second set. Good. But let's say the number that comes back is 41. So now you're stuck. Because 41 is 39 plus 2. 2 is not a number. 2 is nothing. Because lashes has to be divisible by 3. So you're going to get 39 for the first set. And now all you can get is 2 for the second set. 2 doesn't work. So now what you're going to have to do is go for 39. All right, the next 2 you're not going to get, obviously. Wait, heal, recover. Go back now for a new estimation. Maybe you might not qualify for 39. Who knows? But wait, go back for another estimation. And then get lashes again. Once again, I'm going to go back to that point I made at the beginning of this morning. It definitely seems from this Gemara over here that 39 is a real number. Real meaning it's on a Daraisa level. Because if 40 were the actual number, so then 42 is 40 plus 2. Right? It doesn't seem to work out. It goes back and it again identifies 39 as being the actual number that the Torah is mechayev. Because over here you see the person's is the Mishnah says the person gets the number 42, that will cover both sets of lashes. So it seems to be that 39 is the is really the core number.
That's the reason.
Huh?
That's the reason for being divisible by 3.
So it's gonna be based on the fact that the lashes have to be divided where you're gonna get one on the front and 2 on the back. So the only way that's gonna right? And the 1-to-2 ratio, you mean meaning that the number has to be 3, so I can always work with that 1-to-2 ratio. Front back, so front
why,
back.
Why 1 and 2?
What was the 3?
Where did they get that from? Sorry,
I just had told Eddie that we're going to learn later on this morning that the ratio is 1 on the front and 2 in the back. That's based on Psukim. So. Huh? We haven't seen it yet.
Oh,
well, we're gonna get to it later this morning. Those lashes have to go on a 1-to-2 ratio, 1 in the front and 2 in the back. So that number has to be 3. Okay. Kate from Malkin also. Kate Mishnah here now deals with the with the guts of Malkus. So how does it happen? Kofish teyadav al ha'amud. So they tie his hands up to a pole. Helech vehelech vechazan hakneses oches bivagadav. The chazan hakneses, chazan over here does not mean cantor. It's great imagery. It is fantastic to just imagine the cantor of the synagogue going in and having to rip off his clothing. It's, you know, but no. Chazan, whenever you see the word chazan, the Mishnayos or in the Gemara, chazan is basically a shamash or a gabbai, if you will. So, oches bevagadav. It's interesting. Gemara here doesn't discuss that. Right. It's the same. Right. It's the same. It's the same sota language. Im nikru'u nikru'u. The im nifrimu. Now, as far as worrying about, it's a new suit. You don't want to tear it. Don't worry about it. Says the Mishnah. Right. If it tears, it tears. If it's nifram also means tearing. It's a further tearing. Right, nikru means it tears on the seams, which is not so bad. Nifrimu means you really rip it up. You shred it. Achu megalas libo, you have to reveal the chest. Ve'ha'evin nesuna me'achorav, and there's a stone on the back. And this stone, it seems like the person would stand on the stone, give him basically more of an angle. Now, I don't know, right? Michael also asked the same question. The Mishnah does not discuss whether they do or they don't. Presumably they do. I know that probably wasn't what you were expecting me to say, but presumably they do. We know when it comes to punishment for men and women, the Gemara in Sanhedrin in the 6th Perek had a discussion about how much of the woman is revealed when she is put to death, right? Essentially, much like the man, she's also stripped down. But
by the Sota.
By the Sota also.
That's a very small village covered.
No,
it seems very small village
Muslim. Right, no, they reveal her as well by Sota. Megalas libo va'evin asuna me'achar v'chazan k'nesu samayt alav v'ritzu b'yado shal egal k'fula, and he takes a strap in his hand. Strap's made up of leather, and the Mishnah is very detail oriented over here. Not just leather, but it has to be leather that comes off of a calf. It's doubled over, echad l'shnayim, once over, so that now becomes two straps. Ushnayim la'arba'a, and then it's doubled over again, so now it becomes a strap that is four. Ushtei ritzuos shel chamor olos v'yordos ba, and then you have straps of donkey that are intertwined in these straps. Yada tefach, the handle is a tefach, v'rachva tefach, and it's a tefach wide. V'rosha magas al pi kreso. Now you have to make sure that it's long enough so that when you whip, so it's al pi kreso, it's able to cover the entire area of the stomach. Now, not everyone's stomach is the same size. Later on, we're going to learn in the Gemara that basically there was a loop so that they adjusted the size per person. Umako so shlish melefanav. And the Mishnah says it's once on the back and twice on the once on the front and twice on the back, or a third in the front and two thirds in the back. Kipshuto, the simple pshat on the Mishnah is that whatever the final number is, let's say the number is 18, so it's going to be now 6 in the front and 12 in the back, not 1, 2 in the back, 1, 2 in the back, but all 6 in the front and then 18 in the back.
Is it meant to cut and scar?
No, I don't think serrations are necessary. But look, as we're going to learn in just a moment, the person can die. I mean, it's dangerous. It's dangerous activity. He's not standing, he's not sitting, the recipient of the makos, but he's inclined. Shenemar vihipilu hashofet.
This is the person giving the lashes.
Yeah, that's what I was going to correct myself. We're not talking about the person receiving the lashes, we're talking about the person giving the lashes. Vihipilo hashofet. Vihipilo over here means literally, and he's falling. So in other words, he's not in a standing position, he's not in a sitting position, he's somewhere inclined. V'amakimaka biyado achas b'chol kocho. And he does it with all of his strength, meaning that there should be no, he shouldn't give up whatsoever in terms of making it easier, he should really go forward. Remember that when they go for the evaluation, they account for the fact that he's going with all of his strength, and so therefore that goes, it's already factored in. V'hakore kore, im lo tishmor lasos, v'yifli Hashem es makos cha, v'es makos. Now, when he's receiving the lashes, psukim are being said, v'chozer l'tchila samikra. And what he does is, if necessary, right, in other words, if, let's say, the lashes does not coordinate with the psukim that are being read, we go back and we reread the psukim again. Ushmatim es divrei habris hazos, v'chosim v'hurachum yichaper avon. Okay? And the concluding pasuk is v'hurachum. God should be compassionate and merciful. V'chosim l'tchilas ha-mikra, v'im meis tachas yado, pater. Mishnah tells us that if he dies, the one who is giving lashes is going to be exempt. Exempt here meaning exempt from galus, meaning that this isn't even mitzvah b'shogeg. This is just simply the casualty of giving lashes. And sometimes it's going to be unfortunate, but sometimes the person's going to die. More than unfortunate, it's going to be tragic. But host of lo od ritzua achas. However, if let's say he miscounted, meaning so instead of giving 18, he gave 19. And the guy died on the 19th lash. Now we're in the world of shogeg, right? Now this is, right, manslaughter, wrongful death, however you want to say it. But now we're in the world of shogeg, and consequently the person has to go now, the person who's giving the lashes has to go into exile.
How could there be a miscounting? Is there somebody else there?
Right, the Gemara elsewhere asked that very question. Because he's not the one counting, it's the, right, but there's somebody else that was there counting. Right. Okay, that's the right question. Definitely the Gemara asked that question. Niskalkel, bein beri, bein b'mayim pater. Okay, now, they lose control of their bowels, or they urinate. Pater, according to the Tanakhama, that's enough to excuse them, right? As I mentioned earlier this morning, you'll see this is a very common theme throughout our Gemaras. One of the goals in giving lashes is bizui, v'nikla. He's going to become demeaned and diminished. So if he loses control of his bowel movement, if he urinates,
So then he's going to be excused. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ha'ish berei v'ha'isha b'mayim. Rabbi Yehuda does not equate men and women. Rabbi Yehuda says that when it comes to a man, for him to be demeaned, demoralized, he needs to lose control of his bowels. He needs to defecate. V'ha'isha, but when it comes to a woman, so she only need urinate, and that would be enough of a demeaning act for a demoralizing act for a woman. Okay.
Public
glasses,
or is it only
from the venue?
Public.
So they gather.
They actually just have a big glass of water before they go on.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll come back. Actually, the Gemara is going to discuss this losing control, bladder control, and bowel control. In much greater detail, you'll see. My time, Mishum Nikla, Mishum Rav Elazar. I'm sorry. My time, Mishum Nikla. The Bach takes this out. It doesn't. Right. It just doesn't fit over here. Okay. We'll start with Amar of Sheshes. Mishum Rav Elazar ben Azari. Minayin l'Ritzui Sheishal Ego. In our Mishnah, we learned a lot of things in this Mishnah. Lots of bits of information in the Mishnah. Number one, we learned that the strap has to be made out of hide of a calf. Why? D'chsiv arbei mekenu, because of smichas aparshios. And the Torah says that you're going to give him 40. Usmich leilo sachsum shor b'disho. And the next pasuk says that you have to muzzle your shor when he's going around. So over here, by smichas aparshios, we learn that that the instrument and with that which you use has to be made up of the hide of an animal. The Amar of Sheshes, and while we're here, meaning we're going to be discussing Smichas Parshios. So while we're here, the Gemara is going to give us a whole bunch more to consider. Mishum Rav Elazar ben Azari minan liyavam shenafal lifnei mukashchen shein chos menosah dechsev lo sachsom shor b'disha. I'm sorry. How do I know that if I have a yavam, the mitzvah of yibum requires that if a woman's husband dies and they left no children and they had no children and he had a surviving brother, that she has to marry the brother. This is a mitzvah of yibum, right? And let's say that the guy is mukashchen. Her brother-in-law is revolting, physically revolting. He has boils all over his entire body. He's just a disgusting man, physically disgusting. Now, even though the mitzvah of yibum basically forces the brother and the sister-in-law to marry one another, it comes to a point in time when we give her the chance to say, no, no thank you, right? If he's a mukashchin, so then we say, no, we don't force her to be involved in the mitzvah of yibum. Now, how do I know that? So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, based on Smichas Parshia. Because when you look in Parshas Kisetze, you will find that the Parsha of Lo Sachsam Shor B'disho, not muzzling an ox, is right next to the Parsha of Yibum. They're right next to each other. Shein Chos Menasad Yechsiv Ki Lo Sachsam Shor B'disho V'smich Lei Ki Yeshu Achim Yachdav. Right next to one another. And the idea of Lo Sachsam Shor B'disho is don't muzzle an ox, meaning that when he's walking around, you have to give him a certain amount of freedom to the ox. Same thing with the woman. When the woman is in a situation where it's just uncomfortable, give her some freedom.
Who determines that guy is disgusting?
I mean, mukashchin is a pretty objective gauge of...
So maybe to the wife, to the
right, what if it's lady? Subjectively disgusting to the woman? Right? Good question. No, it's uncomfortable to talk about, but the no, she the Gemara in Yavama says afilu bakarcha. Chalitza says if he wants.
Well, how do we know the Mukashkin? What if he's a very poor person?
Right. I mean, right. Dr. Zaghi asks. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, again, that's it comes back. I don't know. I don't know at what point in time it's so clear that it's just a disgusting man.
Isn't it just subjective on her opinion?
Well, Mukashkin is not subjective, but if it were subjective, I don't know. Yeah, sure, right, 100%, right. I don't think he's excusing her from Chalitza.
Right.
They give the malchus if there's one who doesn't get.
Yeah, but we're talking about Yivamas over here. Yivam. Okay. Right, correct. I just said, no, just simply because of the objectivity, the how objectively disgusting the guy is. In other words, Mukashchen not has nothing to do. Yeah. Right, right. Right, right. Right, right. But no, it's just, I think it's just choosing the most objectively disgusting scenario. Amar Rav Sheshet Mishom Rav Elazar ben Azariah Kol Mevatzes Moadim Ki Ilo Oved Avodah Zarah. If you disgrace the Moadim over here means Kamin Yontav, but more specifically probably is referring to Chol HaMoed. Right, Chol HaMoed is the time. Right, Rashi, Rivan says it straight out that we're talking about Chol HaMoed, not just Yanta, but Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed, right? In other words, you're allowed to do malacha and Chol HaMoed to a certain degree. So we always assume, okay, whatever you want. It's not true. Chol HaMoed also has an element of kedusha, so you can't disgrace Chol HaMoed. And if you do, it's ki'ilu over to avodah zarah. I didn't look at the Marasha. I'm sure the Marasha explains better the connection between disgracing Chol HaMoed and worshipping idolatry, which is a very strong connection. Dichziv. And once again, the theme over here is going to be Smichas Parshios. The Pasuk says, Hey Masicha Lo Saselach Usmich Le'ez Chag HaMatzot Tishmor. Now the end of Parshios Mishpatim, you're going to find, right, all the Moados, but right before the Moados, it talks about Avodah Zarah. So if you disgrace the Moados, it's like you're being over the Avodah Zarah. Amar Sheshet Amar Mishum Rav Elazar ben Azariah Kol Mesapa Lashon Hara V'chol Mekaba Lashon Hara V'chol HaMe'id Edu Sheker Rahui Lashlicha Leklavim. You speak Lashon Hara, you accept Lashon Hara, you give false testimony. Now Lashon Hara, by the way, is not false. Lashon Hara means when it's true. But either way, it's fit that you should be thrown to the dogs. Once again, Smichus Parshios. Dichsiv Lakelav Teshlichun Oso. It says regarding the veil and trefa, you throw it to the dog. And it says you're not allowed to give any type of false testimony. Kari Beinami Lo Sasi. And not only are you not allowed to give, you're not allowed to hear. You're not allowed to cause other people to hear it as well. Okay, and is there on speaking Lashon Hara, and is there on receiving Lashon Hara?
This false testimony is not Lashon Hara.
Lo Sisa Shem Hashav goes on both. It goes both on Lashon Hara and false testimony, even though you're right, it's not the same thing. It was a Galilee, a guy from up in the Galilee who darshan in front of Rav Chista. Yada shor koneo v'chamor avos ba'alav Yisrael lo yada. First parak in Yishayahu, Chazon Yishayahu. We're going to be laning it Haftorah in a short couple of weeks from now. Right, an ox knows its owner, but Yisrael does not know who its master is. Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yavo Mishemakir Avos Ba'alav V'Yafri Mimisheino Makir Avos Ba'alav. And the drasha is that something, in this case the animal, who knows who its master is, should go ahead and extract punishment to the person who does not understand and recognize who its owner is. Right, meaning that the whip is there to help us understand who, in fact, our master is. Yada tefach amar Abaye shema mina kolcha v'chalufum gabei avdin alei. Abaye says it seems from the Mishnah that we custom make whips because we need the whip to be of a certain length so that when it goes against the body, it hits the entirety of the stomach. So amale Rava imkei nafish luvritzuos tuva. So Rava says I can't imagine. I can't imagine that basin is just going to have multiple whips, sizes, and basically you're fitted for your whip. It doesn't. Rava says it just doesn't make any sense. El amarava avakta isle kibayi mikterbe kibayi marpaba. So Rava says very simply, there is avakta. Avakta is like a loop, right? The whip is made with sound like some sort of lasso, and basically if needs to be shortened, it's tied, it's makter, mikter means it's knotted. If needed to be, it's unloosened, marpa. In other words, basically, it's some sort of it works with like a belt where you can, you know, you can tighten it, you can loosen it, but it's really one whip. Malkin oso minahani mili amrav kana damakra v'ipila shove v'ikau lefanav kedei rishaso bimispar risha achas melfanav shtei rishayos me'acharav. The source of this idea that it's one on the back and two on the front is based on the fact that the Torah says kedei rishaso bimispar risha achas melfanav shtei rishayos me'acharav. One rishos in the front to two rishayos in the back, and that gets us to the 1-to-2 ratio front to back. It's again unclear. The Rivan also doesn't give much explication. Right, the Rivan says bimispar shtei rishayos me'acharav in the number. I'm not sure how the drasha works. All this is by Parshas Kisetse, where there the Torah goes and describes Malkus. Not, it's a couple psukim over there. Ein Malkus. So Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav Yochanan, Minan L'Rasu Shei Muchpelas. How do I know that's folded over? Shenemar V'Yipilu. So it says V'Yipilu, now V'Yipilu. The Gemara points out. Wait a second. The Hami Ba'ile L'Gufe. We just learned V'Yipilu talks about how the person who's giving the lashes shouldn't be standing, shouldn't be sitting, should be bent over. In Kim Lichtov Kra Yatiu. If that's all the Torah wanted to tell us, the Torah should have said the word Yatiu. My hipilu, shma minatarte. You see two things over here. Number one, that you need to be bent over. Number two, the whip itself should be bent over. Okay. Hamake make biyazu tan rabbanan imamidim chazanim ela chasire korch v'yisere mada. Okay. Who do we get for this job? Right? We're going to put an ad in the local paper. We're looking for somebody to whip on behalf of Beis Din, right? And basically, when the guy comes with a resume, so what do we want him to score high? Do we want him to score high on strength or on intelligence? So the Tanakhama says we want him to score high on intelligence, and we want him to score low on strength. Okay. Right, and that's the Tanakhama's position. Rabbi Yehuda omer afilu chasir mad v'yisere koach, and Rabbi Yehuda says no. You can go the other way around. Low in intelligence, but very strong, and that would also be fine as well. You'll be happy to know. I don't know how much of all this brings joy to us, but the Rambam passes like the Tanakhama. Right, ha'isha maket tzarich lios yeser b'deya. The Rambam says more wise. Chaser bekoach, and not as strong. Okay, so we're looking really for right high cerebral person, not so strong. Amar Rava Kavase de Rav Yehuda Mistabra. Interesting. The Gemara says, I think Rava says, I see Rav Yehuda as being more Mistabra. It's more logical. Why? Dichsiv lo Yosef pen Yosef. Because what does the Torah tell the guy? Don't go over the number. Now, how difficult is it to count and to stay within count? It's not that challenging. So it must be, Rav is saying, must be Rav Yehuda is right. That the guy who's giving the lashes must not be that smart, you know, if he's having a hard time keeping count.
But he's not counting.
You're right. You're right. And this point was raised earlier as well. You're absolutely right. Iyamar bishlama chasir imad dahinu tzarech lazure. Eli iyamar yaser imad mitzarech lazure. So why does the Torah need to be so cautious about counting? Must be that he's not so high on the IQ. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. V'rabanan in Mizarzin Elala Mizares. According to the Chachamim, look, he could be very high intelligence. But it's a mitzvah. He's doing a mitzvah. It's not a pleasant mitzvah, but he's doing a mitzvah. He's Mizares. He's very, you know, he's doing it with a lot of alacrity. He's doing it with a lot of enthusiasm. And when you do something enthusiastically, you have to make sure, even though you can be very highly intelligent, but make sure don't go overboard. And that's why the Torah says, make sure that you stay within number.
You know how we know that executions rarely occurred, I guess, based on... Can we assume this happened all the time, or was it...
I don't know. I don't know. It's a historical question. I don't know.
Did they pay for it?
It's a shlich basin. So I know, but you don't know. Tana kishu magbiya magbiya b'shteyado v'kishu makim makibiyado achas ki heche dalese midideh. And you raise your hand, you raise your hands with two hands, but when you hit them with one, and a ki heche dalese midideh. Unclear exactly what the Gemara means by that. On the side of the Gemara, it points out that there are other girsos as well, the tese merazia. The Rambam, from the Rambam, it sounds like you do it so you can hit them hard. I lost my. Right. The same. Same halacha. What I move around. Umalkeu shlish malfanav. Umagbias ritzos b'shteyado v'makabiyado achas b'chol kochal. Right. Basically, it's with the one arm, you can do it with all your strength. Okay. The hakorei kari tana rabbanu hagadol shabadayin kari. Right. One. The greatest member of the Dayan reads the Pesukim. Hasheni Mona, second from the top counts. Vashlisha Omer Hiko, and the third one actually gives instructions. Hit. Bizman Shemakim Aruba Marich, Bizman Shemakim Awatis Mekatzer. Okay. As far as Pesukim are concerned, so this Braisa makes it sound very clear that the recitation of the Pesukim should conclude with the conclusion of the Makas. So our Mishnah says, well, if you need to, you just go over the chorus again and start the Pesukim all over again from the beginning. So it's like a chasm davening for the Amud. You know, really the tune should fit the words, right? That's l'chatchila. But b'di'eved, if you can't, so then you go back and you start the Pesukim again. Although when davening for the Amud, you shouldn't repeat the Pesukim again. But basically, licha tchila, Pesukim should end with the Makas. Tana Rabbanan. Maka Rabba ain li ala Maka Rabba. Maka Muatas Minayin. The way the Rivan understands this Gemara, this Bryce is teaching us that if you give anything more than what he needs to be gotten, you're in the wrong. You, the whipper, are in the wrong. Meaning, even if after you give him his deserved number of malchus, you give him a small hit afterwards, that's also a violation of pen Yosef. You're not allowed to add. Tamalama lo Yosef. Imke ma tamalama. Makaraba. Liman al Rishon Hashem makaraba. Makaraba just teaches us that the first hits, the ones that you're supposed to give, are supposed to be done with all your strength. But after that point in time, anything that you give after that point in time, even a light hit afterwards, is a violation of the Torah of Pen Yosef. Nizkalkel. Let's just finish up to the Mishnah. Tanu Rabbanan. Here we're going to learn in this Braisa exactly when he needs to, when he's going to be demeaned to the point where he's not going to, where he doesn't have to get any more lashes. Echadisha, Echadisha, Beri'i. V'lo b'man div Reb Meir. Reb Meir says he has to lose his bowels. He has to lose control of his bowel movement in order for him to be demeaned. Rav Yehuda Omer Aish Bariva Aisha B'mayim. Rav Yehuda says man with excrement and a woman with urine. The Chachamim Omer Echadish V'Echadisha B'en Bari B'en B'mayim. And the Chachamim say it doesn't matter. Any loss of control of any waste would be demeaning. The Atanya Rav Yehuda Omer Echadish V'Echadisha Bari. In the Braisa we learned that according to Rav Yehuda, men and women with excrement. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Shneim Shavim Beri'i. No, it just means according to Rav Yehuda that when it comes to loss of bowel movement, men and women are the same. As far as loss of bladder control for women, that excuse her; for men, it won't excuse. Amar Shmuel Kaftu Verat Mi Beis Din Pater. Funny halacha by Shmuel. You tie him up, and somehow he gets out and he runs away. He's going to be exempt. Right, he'll be excused. He no longer is chayav malchus. Okay, meisvei. Now, where he gets that from? It's not a mishnah. It's not a brisa. He says that the gemara challenges him. Kala ben brishon ben mishnah pochin oso nifsika ritzua bishnia pochin oso brishona ain pochin oso. If if it breaks, if the whip breaks, so after the first one that he receives, he's excused. But only after the first one, not before the first one. Amai lahavik karatz. The Gemara says, according to Shmuel, what do you mean? If for whatever reason he gets away after the, even before the first one is lashed, so he is, he according to Shmuel, should be excused. Hasamratz hachaloratz. And the Gemara says, and it's a strange halacha. According to Shmuel, if you run away, that's demeaning. Even if you were not given one set of lashes, but somehow you had the ability to run away, that's demeaning, that's demoralizing, and you don't need lashes anymore. Tana Rabbanan. Amdu lechishi yilke kala pochin oso. Lechishi yetimi based in kala malkin oso. Velo oda la filo kala betchila malkin oso. The way the Rambam understands this, it means that if we assess that he's going to lose his bowel, he's going to lose control of his bowel movement before he gets the lashes, that's not enough to excuse him. If, however, we're going to assess that he's going to lose his control of his bowel movements after he gets the lashes, so then he's going to be relieved only after he loses control. Shanamar, v'ikalu v'nikla. If he loses control of his bowels before he gets his lashes, that's not enough to excuse him. In other words, this idea of him losing control of his bowels or of his urine, and that is only after he starts getting lashes, right? So to urinate, to defecate beforehand will not be enough to relieve him or excuse him of his lashes. Okay. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud, and God willing, tomorrow We'll make a break. Tomorrow evening, Erev Shivas of Tammuz, we'll have a siyum at the home of the Tershwals. Please, everybody, 6:30, be there on time. We're going to daven mincha, and then we'll do the siyum. We'll have a dinner. Okay.